You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Here we are.
We made it to 2024.
I know. Does that seem like a space age number not too long ago?
It is funny watching videos or movies that are like set in 2015 and you're like, well, wow, you know, I think we made it through. If they would have done a 2020 movie back in the day, that would have just been spooky.
They did. It was called Trapped in New York. Yeah, 2000, Space Odyssey, 2001 was a thing to us.
The things that we would have.
Yeah, it's nothing like that.
The flying cars, the outer space homes. There's quite a few things that I know.
What a disappointment that, you know, we, the things that we're
having accomplished.
Yeah.
I don't know. So AI is making its a strong debut. End of this last year, so
true.
So I mean, who knows what that'll do this year? Because it was already coming on strong last year. So
it's a part of our life. It's a part of our
forever
life.
Forever there now.
There's the early adopters. There's the okay, I'll try it, and then there's the they'll never take me.
Yeah,
they'll never take me alive.
I did see something. I think it was McDonald's has like a. Humanless, like service, like they don't have any, like there's no humans working,
right?
Which I don't know how that works for human error. Like I think about human error, like I made a mistake, I added pickles, I don't want pickles on my whatever. How do you talk to the robot?
All the human error is now on the ordering side.
So it's just interesting. It's crazy to think about.
Yeah, well, makes you want to just take a look at life around you and how it's all changed so rapidly, and it's only going to continue to do so. So there's a few things that we do lock onto, and the design of you know, kind of how we run things around loving on purpose. You know, our Kylo University is really set up to where our students take a long look at their connection with God and what can be learned and the adjustment, and then what can be learned in their connection to their own heart and what can be learned and what adjustments need to happen, and then their connections with others. And so God, self, and others has become a part of really our framework and our focus here at Loving on Purpose. And so when we talked about, you know, the new year, and we thought, well, you probably ought to take a look at your relational priorities. And so we thought, well, why don't we just spend a little bit of time maybe reflecting on, like, God. Like, you know, my relationship with the Lord is... it's been through a lot lately, you know. It's been through a lot, you know, with all the.
I'm only laughing because we live at the same house, we work the same company, so
yeah,
we have a lot of the same stressors.
Yes. I mean, there's just been a lot that has happened in a short period of time, and I feel like I had, you know, the global shutdown and all that went with that. First couple years, and now everybody's trying to figure out a crazy economy and then a crazy global scheme. You know, like, okay, what doesn't change is Jesus is the King, and He knows what's going to happen. And all I got to do is stay connected to Him.
Hold on.
I just got to stay connected to Him and be about my Father's business. I have to, you know, I have to really refocus a whole bunch of my attention to what's He doing, not what's the enemy doing. What's the spirit of this world doing? Because I think that's where the anxiety comes from is the more attention that you pay to what looks like absolute societal collapse, you feel powerless. But when you actually stay focused on who is the Lord, what is my assignment, and am I about my Father's business, then when we get through all of this, that's really what's going to matter. What,
sure.
You know, what isn't going to matter is that I got my social, political, economic way.
Well, I think as our students have learned, our God portion of Kylo University is the longest portion, because it is the most important relationship we have. And I think due to all those distractions like you've described, and then some, I don't know, because God isn't this crashing, demanding, threatening presence that we feel. I think that priority kind of gets put wayside, mm-hmm. which is why we emphasize it so much in our school. But in the beginning of the year, thinking about, you know, what is he really saying? What is he doing? What is he going to do? What mm-hmm. did he do? I think that place of, you know, really the reflection of it, and knowing that the outcome of the year ahead of us could look so much more hopeful, engaging, enjoyable, mm-hmm. fun, connected if you start it with prioritizing your relationship with the Lord. You right. anchor yourself to some truth.
I think when King David, you know, I can only imagine what it would have been like to live in that day as a king.
I was reading something, and I'm like, this is such a weird thought. It's like, feels like movies when you. That's the only thing
the
I have.
King, you know, the king is, he didn't have it great. You know, I think about living in that day and mm-hmm. how life worked and how fragile pretty much everything is, and how inconvenient pretty much everything is, and you're the king. So it goes way down from there. But I think of the character of David again and again, being this guy that wanted to be faithful, wanted to be seen by God, wanted to know God. And I think that really is our assignment. It's really, do I know Jesus? Do I know what he's like, what he likes? How am I helping my connection with him, and how am I hurting my connection with him? And am I paying attention to that? Do I really believe he's guiding my steps, or am I so clueless that I'm not only disconnected from him, I'm disconnected from my own heart, and I'm disconnected from the people around me, and I think I'm supposed to live like this? So when King David in Psalm 139 says, you know, search me and know me, you know, examine me. I think everything starts with your willingness to be in the light. You know, are you willing to be in the light with God? Can he actually steer you, shape you, teach you, rebuke you, convict you? Will you adjust to that? Or are you pretty just set on being Lord and master of your own life, and, you know, and then blaming everybody for the stuff that you injure them with?
I think about God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about ultimate feedback session.
Yeah. If it's, you know, if you're really connected.
Yeah. I just think that is the, it can be so confronting of, you know, are you willing and ready to hear what, I guess, the Lord has to say?
Yeah.
In that, in his cry of search me and know me.
Yeah. Do you trust the Lord? Because you're about to find out. Mm-hmm. And you know, we live in a day where everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Mm-hmm. And so I work with a lot of leaders. I work with a lot of folks that are, they've built a world where you would think they pray this prayer. Mm. You know, you're kind of looking from the outside. You say, oh my gosh, that person's just walking in the light with the Lord. I mean, look at him. And then, it comes out that, oh no. They are doing whatever the heck they want because they're accountable to no one, starting with God. You're like, whoa, how in the world? And it's because we get a walk in the shadow thing going on in our lives. And when the Lord says, hey, we do nothing, we don't adjust. And that actually ends up injuring our experience and the voice of God in our lives is changed by our heart getting harder in areas of our life. And so this would be a great time to slow down and to just begin to say, okay, is my heart getting hard in any area of my life? Is there any area where I say, oh, Lord, search me and know me, except right here?
So don't look in that closet.
Yeah, this right here, I got this. Mm-hmm. And whenever we set it up like that, we're deceiving ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess the invitation for looking at this year, 2024, is, you know, are you willing to ask those questions to the Lord, to invite him into a space where you can develop this relationship and you can have, I guess, a change and a shift and enter into a more intimate space? You know, you were saying earlier you work with leaders that, you know, you would think would have these things all figured out, or that they'd be so vulnerable and transparent with the Lord. I work with parents, a lot of parents and a lot of people in marriage crises. And, you know, their relationship with the Lord, usually what I'm hearing about it is a cry and plea for help rather than this submission of laying their life out before the Lord and asking for wisdom and counsel before we get to the crisis. Mm-hmm. So mine feels slightly different in that, they're crying out to the Lord, but it's because they're in crisis mode, not because
the Egyptian army's chasing them.
Exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. So they didn't position themselves to have a relationship with the Lord where there was guidance and wisdom that they were seeking as much as come and rescue me mm-hmm. from this misery, pain, heartache. Yeah. And I think that's part of, you know, talking about this is great time of the year. You know, January is where we figure out, what are we doing this year? What are we going for? Sometimes people can do it all in one day and or night before or whatever. I feel like I'm a month-long process to figure out what's going on. But I do think if you can kind of position your heart to be more like David, I don't know that you would live in this, the Egyptians are coming. Mm-hmm. Part of your life.
It's just a real part of life, right? It's like I'm generally making health changes based on I can't do that anymore. It hurts. You know, I got to do something different. Sure. I got to change something. So I know that, you know, if I don't pay attention to how I eat, my pants are going to start killing me. They're going to just fight me all day long. They're going to be stabbing me and pressuring me. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. So it gets my attention. So I do know that the Egyptian army does work. You know, if you need a little external motivation, there you go.
Sure.
But it is best to stay hungry and to stay humble and to you know, be wise and be willing to take a rebuke and make an adjustment and not have to have pain. But, you know, both are available.
Well, you say people often change for one of two reasons, vision or pain.
Yeah, or I'm finally miserable enough to face my fear, you know?
So vision, pain, or fear is kind of what it sounds like. Well, but it's still a little bit of pain.
Yeah, I think the whole pain side is over there with, am I miserable enough from what I'm so afraid of? Mm-hmm. And that dynamic, I think, is it's powerful. I mean, you can get some... you can get your golden retriever to bite you. You know, I mean, you can get somebody that's pretty docile and pretty passive to finally have had enough, and they will look like a grizzly bear for a minute, you know, because they're miserable.
Yeah. So if we were to, I think we talked about having kind of a little bit of a formula, if you will, to help people. And when I think about the vision or pain, what motivates you for this year, part of the staying in vision is kind of a healthy reflection of where we've been, what God's done, what the truth is. So I think pain, sometimes pain feels a little bit selfish and that I'm consumed by it. Mm-hmm. I can only see me. I can only
it's like being sick.
I can only experience right here, and not to disregard the pain that people live in, but I think that sometimes can become this consuming factor that feels so isolating and consuming to self. Mm-hmm. So to press on vision, I think expanding that and looking past that pain and looking to those other spots where there was the good, the breakthrough, the faithfulness, you know, especially if you feel painful towards God, like we kind of started out, like it's been a wild ride for us this last year and a lot of different areas, you could easily say. So to give a tool of it's kind of realigning in a place of vision is to reflect. So if you were to reflect on this last year in your relationship with God, how do we get back to vision using this tool of reflection?
Mm-hmm. Just thinking back, it's hard for me to not think in terms of the last few years. Like there's been, it just feels like...
So since 2020, it's just one year.
Yeah. It feels like the same year, pretty much, you know.
I wonder when it'll roll over.
Yeah. It feels like all
3,000 and something.
All the drama in 20, you know, and then what was missing was some cancer. You know, that's what was missing. So 2 years of that, and we're kind of coming out of it now, but now the world's coming off its hinges. You know, you're like, okay, what is the deal here? And I think if you look out, you miss it. And so, there's been so many things that God has done to stabilize me on the inside in this ball of time. And the two of them, the ones that really stand out to me was just in helping me handle having a wife who's so dominated by a diagnosis and for a while it was chemo and surgeries and just her body recovering constantly, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, you know, it's her birthday. And I thought, well, no, it's February, it's not her birthday,
right?
You know, it's a long way from her birthday. And the reality of responding long term, you know, having a plan that's going to sustain me. The Lord gave me that strategy. Like, oh, for some reason on her birthday, you got nothing. You got nothing but service for her.
You were extra.
Yeah. You're all
extra
about
attentive.
All about her today, aren't you? You know, and it's like, oh, that shift, wherever that shift comes from, when it's her birthday, I can make that any day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been her birthday for over 2 years now.
It's the longest birthday ever.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that has really impacted me in my daily, mm-hmm. this is how I'm living. And the other thing is, I've got I think it came from maybe Sharon and Kylo Yu. I can't remember where this came up, but all of a sudden I started saying, "My God is powerful. My God is with me. My God has called me, so I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be, and my God works all things together for my good." So there's always hope. Mm-hmm. You know, and so my God is powerful, my God is with me, my God has called me, and he works all things together for my good. This has just been ringing in me morning to night, especially when I'm facing an unknown outcome.
Yeah.
You know, and finances and kids, adult kids, grandkids, you know, my own physical body, you name the area, and it is framed up, ready to go in me, and I can explore every one of those and find comfort.
If you're ready for a life-changing transformation, head on over to KyloUniversity.com now and start your journey towards a more fulfilling future. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Your transformation begins at Kylo University. Visit KyloUniversity.com today. I don't know that I feel like mine is clear, maybe, as yours. You have a very clear birthday, mom's birthday, and your Kylo U mantra that I've heard you say. I don't know. It does feel newer. I don't know that. I remember you saying, "God is good all the time. God is good." I mean, you would go back and forth in Mountain Chapel days. That's what I remember.
that seemed like a long time ago.
It's a very long time ago. But that's what I remember it saying, you were saying it. So that's why I'm like, that's what comes. I know Bill said it. I don't even know where it came from. It's just, it's something that you say. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
even remember.
Yeah, it's kind of like he is risen. He's risen indeed. You know, like, where did that come from? I don't know. We've been saying it for a while.
But I can see myself in the theater in Weaverville saying it after you say it. So anyways, but there's memory lane for you. I think in the reflection of, you know, it's been a crazy 2 years.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily over, but it's, you know, I don't, it doesn't sound good to say this, but like the sticker shock of it is less. It's mm-hmm. just annoying, mm-hmm. I'll say. I think, you know, all of mom's hard things are hard. I think being the kid is hard.
Yeah.
Again, then you add, we all live together, work together. So, you know, it's not like there's many breaks in between.
Yeah, it's not like we're in Connecticut giving you an update twice a year. Yeah.
Get
yeah.
on the phone with you. No, there's none of those moments. But no. I think the how I see God is good in the midst of what feels like all those pain, scary, hard, is in my own kids. Mm-hmm. I think the most beautiful thing that keeps me grounded to, I know I'm contending for mom's healing and, you know, all those times when we walk through good diagnosis, bad diagnosis, unexpected, you know, family crap. I mean, again, the last couple of years feels like a snow globe of mm-hmm. daggers. You know, yeah. Trying to, but I think, again, going back to watching our kids is like, I don't know why it's this recentering of the purity of God, the goodness of God, the joy in the little things, you know, like watching Adeline, who has just blossomed into this young lady, and then her curiosity about the Bible, about who God is, what he looks like, watching her step up into leadership. Like they're just not tainted by this pain, mm-hmm. by this disease. So then you're just like renewed, like, that's right. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get to have this, you know, they're almost the encouragement of reminding you of how good God is mm-hmm. that, you know, that innocent, like, let the children come to me mm-hmm. on purpose, because children don't have a bunch of crap that they seem to have to, you know, filter through like adults do. You know, we see all the worst case or something. But, and then watching Delaney, you know, she sent us a video not too long ago of her just sobbing her face off as she's trying to talk, which is like her mother right now. So, you know, like mother, like daughter here. But she's just talking about the encounter she's having in at school and BSSM and healing rooms and, you know, watching people get healed. And then basically she's just absolutely shaken by the love of God. Mm-hmm. And so these are just these moments where I think I embrace the, okay, God, you're just reminding me of your purity and the pursuit, mm-hmm. you know, in the midst of what feels overwhelming. You know, I get to look at my kids and go, oh, they are so unfazed. Mm-hmm. You know, they are. I won't say they're unfazed, but I think that the reflection is just being able to see that they keep chasing back to the Lord. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to keep leading that. I want to keep having that as my same anchor. And I think it's because we keep doing that. Yeah. You know, that's what we chase down. And, you know, the other day we were at church and a band asked, you know, if you wanted to kind of just go after his presence, to go to the front. And I was laughing because I felt like we were at a...
God's presence, not Banning's presence.
Not Banning's presence, to clarify, because you're concerned. but I was laughing because Ben and I are up at the front and the kids weren't, and I was just laughing. I'm like, I feel like I'm at a youth conference. Like Ben and I are just at the front, both crying and just worshiping and just so grateful for, you know, the presence of God that rests in us so that we can just operate in the day to day.
And so, I mean, that kind of leads right into the next R. And we have three R's here. We have, you know, reflect, like mm-hmm. what has it been like? What has been, you know, what is God at work doing? And then the realignment is what you're talking about, which is, yeah, you're in a snow globe full of daggers. That's a nice illustration there. And
I have Kevlar on, but it's still.
yeah. You found a spot that wasn't covered.
Ow.
Yeah. But what is God doing?
Yeah.
What is God doing? Because we tend to, the anxiety and the hopelessness comes from God's not doing X, Y, and Z. And right. then we just spend the rest of the day looking at X, Y, and Z, and we're so discouraged and so disconnected and so anxious. But what is he doing? Mm-hmm. So we turn our attention to, well, he's doing this and he's doing that, and look at this and look at that, and that worked, and this is happening, and that's an opportunity. And like, oh my gosh, you really do have to choose though.
Yeah.
And so the realignment is a type of repentance in that I will no longer meditate day and night on what you're not doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and because it definitely doesn't fuel any kind of vision.
Well, it just makes you more scared.
It absolutely
more
just
of a control freak.
It's not what we need.
You're not controlling your freaking self here. You're out of control.
So, you know, it's definitely the, I guess, chasing it down over and over again to where I mean, that realignment piece, I think it is, you know, really reading the Word of God. And, you know, we talked about before, like, what does it look like to be a king of a country? I just think wandering through the desert for 40 years, mm-hmm. you know, and somebody does something stupid and we all have a plague. I'm surprised I volunteer to kill that person.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of crazy to think about, you know, why wouldn't you just have yourself, you know, focused on the Lord and just like, okay, I want your presence. That's all I want. I don't want anything else. And, you know, we don't live in a space where someone sins in your family and you all have a plague, thank goodness. But it's just, it's still that, you know, can you go back to realigning yourself with the Lord? Can you chase after his presence? Can you lead in that? And then what does that look like? Because all of our listeners are different, from stay-at-home moms to someone working a, you know, I don't know, 60-hour week, something crazy, some crazy job, you know, that they squeeze us in between the crazy. But it's, you know, what are you doing to feed yourself that keeps you connected to the source?
Mm-hmm. You know, once I've shifted my gaze and I'm now actually looking at what God is doing, then the third R is to re-engage. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so I've reflected. It's kind of where I'm learning. I'm getting some perspective. They say hindsight is 20/20. It's largely due to the guesswork is way, way less. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to realign with what God is doing in my life and meditate, focus on, partner with him in that. And then here comes the re-engagement. Mm-hmm. So I now need to re-engage, which means that there was some adjustment. Mm-hmm. And I probably have to write it down. Yeah, probably this is
probably wise.
This is probably a good thing to just in this process you get to, and we're going to do this with, you know, self and others as well. But when you get to this spot here, this would be a good time to just write down what the Lord is saying, what you see he's doing, and where is your partnership assignment with him. Mm-hmm. You know, and it may not be a year long something, but it is what you can see, and you know, sometimes the Lord is lighting up your path, you know, and you can see your next step. Like, okay, well, that's what you're praying for. That's what you're doing. Lord, what is the next step? Because sometimes that's the assignment. And the assignment is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, here you go. This is the assignment for you. Like, I thought I would start playing a church or start a business or make $1 billion or whatever, get married. Like, no, your assignment right now is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. So that's why you can see the next step. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that makes total sense. And it's true. And then without a vision, my people perish. You're like, okay, so you better be able to see the big picture as well.
Yes.
And that is another season in life. And sometimes it really is to open up the dreamer, to open up the creativity, to open up the hope in your life. And now you got to like, okay, what do you see? Mm-hmm. We have a e-course, I think. E-course, it's some version. We did something for Dare to Dream. I remember we read. Is it an e-course?
Yeah, you did a course. I don't know where it is, but
well, it's in the Life Academy.
Okay,
yeah, it's in there somewhere. Anyway, it's about, you know, that whole process of dreaming, like get your dreamer going, because you have to. I challenge people to write down 100 dreams and. It's not as easy as it sounds, especially because you, like, pretty soon you run out of, I think this is what the Lord would want. I think this is what the Lord would want. Instead of, this is what the Lord has stirred in me to want. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you if you give Christmas presents to your kids, you go, here you go, I want you to have this. Here you go, Merry Christmas. You're like, yeah. Oh, thanks, yeah. I wrote down that list of things that I wanted, you know, but this is good that you got me something you wanted.
And, socks.
Yeah. And you're like, that's the difference, really. The intimacy piece with the Lord is in I get to express my heart and my desires, and then I watch him respond. That's a relationship. You know, I need something. I understand we all died and we all, you know, resurrected in Christ. And I get all that, and I'm still me. I'm still not you. I'm still not the preacher. And I'm still not, you know, somebody from the past. I'm me. Yeah. And I have these weird desires. And the Bible tells me that those desires on display put who I am on display. I was uniquely created. Mm-hmm. We're not a assembly line full of clones any more than your own children are the same. You know, mm-hmm. you try to get the same gift for all your kids.
Unless it's a puppy, I don't really know that's going to work out.
Yeah, well, the oldest one knows, oh, no, we got a puppy. I got to feed it, you know, whatever. I mean, there's, you know, it's all that. It's just a, or it's a wrong puppy or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're all uniquely created, and that really shows up in what we desire, what we dream about, what we hope to see. And when the Lord meets you right there and you're like, oh, my gosh, I've always wanted to ride a dolphin ever since I first saw it on that little show I watched and da-da-da. And then here I am, 60 years old, riding a dolphin. Like, Lord, you see me. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. that's – it doesn't matter if it's one of your dreams. It just matters that it was one of mine and the Lord met me there. So he's lighting up my path. He's lighting up, you know, the next step of my life. At the same time, he is saying – do you see me? Because mm-hmm. I see you. Let me show you.
In the re-engage portion, I think that some of this, you know, even the reflect, realign, and re-engage is kind of helping prepare you to be bold enough to have those dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think some people get to the, you know, the new year, and maybe last year was hard. And so that's, I think that's part of why it's set up this way, is so that you can have that place of having hopeful dreams and expectations mm-hmm. to re-engage with the Lord. And mm-hmm. so if you skip the other two parts, you might find yourself in, you know, maybe you already are walking those two daily, which is great, but if you just start, I think the thing I'm hearing is that you can't just start writing things down and hoping that it's gonna stick. You know, it should be a process of, is this really the desires? Is this really where I feel like God's calling me? And then, you know, the practical activation of putting it into action.
Yeah, I think reflecting is going to put me in touch with gratitude. Mm-hmm. And then realignment puts me in touch with repentance. And there's a grace on that humility. And then the re-engagement is really where I'm boldly coming into the throne room of grace, and I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to ask. I'm ready to exchange. And I think that's the happy place with us and the Lord is that it's a loving exchange of life, and it's the most intimate, most trusted. If we skip these steps, you know, if I'm not grateful and I'm not humble, then I come in with manipulate the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding yeah. and see if you can't get your way. And that, unfortunately, is what we get lost in sometimes when we're so caught up in our cause, or even as a parent. You know, when your kids are little, you actually spend a couple years thinking you know how this is going to turn out. Mm-hmm. You really do. You really guys like, oh, I know this is going to go according to my plan. Nope, it's not. This isn't going according to your plan.
Yeah,
you know, you're going to have to trust in the Lord with all your heart.
I was talking to Addie last night. She was just struggling with the reality of Delaney's growing and next seasons to come and all the things. And, you know, it's just so much of this. I think she's just afraid. She's just so afraid she's going to lose something and, you know, trying to be able to see the vision. And one of the things she said is, she goes, you can see it because you're adults. Mm. I can't see it because I'm still a kid. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, that's good feedback, because mm-hmm. I'm trying to get you to see it the way I see it, which I think is, you know, I think it's going to work out great. We're good to go. I think that's the lacking humility is that perspective a little bit. I know how this is going to go. I don't. I need to be resubmitted.
Yeah. the older you get, the more stuff you lived through, and you realize I'm harder to kill than I thought, you know? And, sure. at the same time, a little mosquito bite could kill me. But the things that you actually survive mm-hmm. that are just so scary. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful that Addie saw that. I didn't know that.
You had walked away from the table. She was in her Addie curled up ball position with a napkin over her face, reminding me of my brother Taylor, mm-hmm. not wanting to talk or feel the feelings that are going inside of her. And, it's the reflecting, it's the realigning and the reengaging of, it's probably a good practice, not just in January to do these things, mm-hmm. but maybe to reflect and do that, seasonally as you, especially on your journey with the Lord. I think it's probably, put it into practice mm-hmm. for January, but maybe, I think a lot of times we get to the end of February and we've derailed a little bit, lost momentum. So maybe even coming back to that, mm-hmm. can you?
For whatever reason, January kind of sets up our year. It does. Or at least maybe you were holidayed out or something. I don't know exactly what opens us up like this, but
I think it does. It feels like a fresh because you have a brand new year. I mean, you have to write it and all these things. And
winter's pounding the out.
I don't know.
Unless you live in California.
Yeah.
Hawaii or something. But, you're kind of a little more settled down. Mm-hmm. But I think, the idea of, we're going to reset this whole thing with some reflection and gratitude, really. I think if you write it down, you just write down what you're grateful for, just put it in front of you, mm-hmm. reflect on it. But what is the Lord doing? And where am I so grateful? And you'll see a path light up. You'll see where he's at work, what he's doing. And then you'll be looking now for a fresh assignment. You'll look for, or just a affirmation of the assignment you're on. And then you adjust. You say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm adjusting. And then you reengage. And I would recommend that you come back to this list and you keep reading it and live it as a lifestyle as much as possible, because once a year is that's way scary. There's
January to January. You only looked at that roadmap once.
So much happens in that time. So keep looking up at the road, don't just look at your speedometer.
Yeah.
Because you need both.
It's true. All right. Well, that was a good segment to kind of reprioritizing our relationship with God.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can take some of those and apply them and see what is in store mm-hmm. for your relationship, because it should be a great year. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on The Kyla Show. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kyla Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekylashow.com. The Kyla Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families are going to save the world.